And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, February 4th, 2021. Great to have you here with us as always. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. And great to have you here on a Thursday as we're working through this first week of February. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's all at MarketTalkAg. Via our great radio web affiliates as well. You can find a full list of those under the About section at markettalkag.com. Well, a fairly quiet day in the trade. We don't have a whole lot of movement in prices, but we do have a lot to talk about and a lot of interesting things to take a look at. And let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. John, good to talk with you again today.
Good to be back. Yeah, a lot of things going on and a lot of different things coming up. And then in the next few weeks, it could be very interesting in terms of how these markets play out.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I think let's just dive in overall. We got our weekly export sales numbers in today, and I think that's the first big thing we should talk about. Corn, impressive. And we knew we were going to have impressive numbers. What was it that I saw? A couple different comments that, you know, we doubled the previous weekly record for sales set in December of 1994, but, you know, the trade really just kind of took it, shrugged it off, and we finished just kind of lightly mixed today. What was the reasoning behind that? Was the trade just already anticipating that and had it priced in? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest factor overall. I mean, there was no surprise this number was coming. And you know, obviously we had the announcements all during last week, which, you know, the market even at that time didn't react very well because even those are kind of figured in. So again, that number came out. It hit today. It was impressive. It looks great on charts in terms of the explosion higher in export sales. You know, there's a couple things I was looking at. I was like, who else besides China bought corn last week? And it was good to see Japan and Mexico step up and pick up some bushels. There were some more unknown destinations, which could have been anybody, probably made more Chinese sales in there as well. You know, even taking out the Chinese purchases, sales were well over 1 million metric tons, which is still a solid number in this window. So that was encouraging to see. I think the biggest thing the markets really started to talk a lot about is, are we going to be able to get these bushels shipped? You know, our shipping pace has actually been very, very slow, obviously, because we're focused on the beans. And with that South American crop being late to harvest, we're getting more and more beans out, which is great for that market. But we're not getting these corn bushels shipped. You know, as of this morning, we're about 36% shipped in terms of that export sale total that's out there. That's the lowest number since 2005. Now, obviously, that's a little bit elevated because of the large amount of sales on the books. And you go compare year over year, we're actually doing very, very well in the shipping pace in terms of getting extra bushels out compared to last year. But to get to that target, that 2.55 billion bushels the USDA has labeled out there for us, which will probably go up in eventual USDA reports, at least that's our anticipation, you know, we're going to really have to get these boats moving and shipping corn out of different ports that maybe we haven't done in the past to hit those targets.
Well, and that's a great point you make. You know, we see all these export sales and it keeps driving our prices higher, giving us bullish momentum. But at the end of the day, we got to ship this stuff. And, you know, China, notorious for, you know, putting all these sales on paper and then maybe canceling some shipments down the road. We really don't know sometimes what the Chinese are going to quite do when it comes to exports.
Yeah, but let's look at the things that are very friendly right now. Realistically, we're still the cheapest corn in the world, and we probably will be well into the spring, maybe even into early summer. You know, the South American or the Brazilian first corn crop was limited. They need that for feed supply, so there's not going to be a lot of export competition there. We still got questions where the Argentina crop's going to be, but even, you know, on the competition side, we obviously still have much more to work with in terms of what they'll be able to put out there. Plus, what's going on in terms of their infrastructure, political structure, who knows where they're going to be in the export game anyway. So that's still going to keep the buyers active in the market. They're going to be still looking for corn in the U.S. market, maybe the best place to go, you know, here for the weeks and months ahead. You know, the biggest thing we'll have to watch, though, you know, you mentioned cancellations. Yes, that's going to be a big factor. Or does this get just rolled over into 2021-22 and start and put some pressure on that side of the, you know, balance sheet when we start thinking about next year's corn crop? You know, maybe that's a little bit of some of the strength we saw in the deferred contracts again today, other than just some spreading action. It's just the anticipation that, you know, those prices might be undervalued given the demand that's already starting to build up in 2021 and 22.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about there with corn. And at the end of the day as well, I know basis is firming again, and we're getting some, you know, good numbers in the Gulf for shipments there. And overall, just looking at this corn market, and you mentioned new crop strength there today, a little bit of that that spread action out there. If I'm a producer who's got some corn to maybe market, whether it's old crop or new crop, you know, we set a new contract high today. I think we got to keep that in mind as well. There's a lot of opportunity here ahead of this USDA report that's coming out on Tuesday to do a little marketing.
Yeah, there is. You know, and talking old crop wise, again, we got good value here. Obviously, you know, it's expensive to keep ownership over top, but, you know, just weigh all your options, continue to trickle out into strength, but be aware that you know, we could still see some significant upside potential in here. In fact, realistically, the corn market the last few days here has been acting kind of like beans did in November and December. Just some of those factors I talked about. We're hearing basis levels firm up. We're hearing talking, you know, the demand trying to pull forward. Producers have been selling more, so the supply is getting a little bit tighter. And I've said it before, nothing moves prices faster than when the farmer gives up ownership and it's in the commercial's hands. So we're starting to see that maybe build here. Not saying that corn's going to explode and take off here. It might be more of a summer type move, but at the same time, the structure of the market, the action of the price has been feeling very, very good. You know, even today, we're down a couple pennies, kind of looked just shaky. It didn't really want to do anything, but it wasn't a nervous market. We didn't have any hard pushes to the downside. We just chopped around all day today, just kind of trying to find some direction. Some of that maybe just the fact that we got a report coming. The market's extremely long. Don't, you know, who wants to stick their neck out going into a report that's only a few days away? That could be a serious market mover one way or another. You know, that's the biggest thing we're going to be keeping an eye on, is what does the USDA do with that report for both corn and beans? Like, they've got the ability to make some tightening on the terms of the adding to that demand picture, tighten up those carryout numbers. That's what the market's expecting. But at the same time, February report usually doesn't bring us a lot. And there's a little bit of nervousness in the market. They just may punt on this one and say, prove it to me with the shipping pace and move for any adjustments off into March.
And that's a great point. And that can segue us in to talk a little bit more about this report on Tuesday. And I'm with you. This February report's typically not really a newsmaker. There's usually not a lot of changes happening in it, but we're starting to see more pre-report estimates come out from various analysts and firms and brokerage houses and everything else under the sun, you know, wondering, are we going to shrink that carryout number, especially in soybeans? Are we going to shrink it down closer to 100? What are we going to do with corn with some of those carryout numbers? What are you guys seeing? And what is your best guess, I would say, as to what we might see happen with the USDA numbers on Tuesday?
Well, you go with the analyst expectations, corn carryout coming from 1.5 into the 1.3, 1.4 window. Do see some projections all the way down to 1.1, below 1.2 billion bushels of carryover, which would probably signal us a pretty significant rally, probably add another 50 cents to a dollar into the corn market on the old crop side. So that's the biggest thing we're going to kind of keep in mind. In January, the USDA took 250 million bushels off the demand side of the equation through exports and ethanol side. And now we probably got to put it right back on, given the surge of demand from the Chinese here in the, you know, on last week's numbers, basically bought all that plus some. So that's going to still be interesting how the USDA handles that in this report. Same thing on the bean front. You know, we really haven't touched on the bean sales today. Everybody was so focused on the big corn number. The number that jumped out to me was the fact that we sold 880,000 tons of old crop beans. And if we're looking at a pipeline tight supply, which is really at where we're at 140 million bushels, you know, we don't have 800,000 metric tons lying around that we got to ship out. And with that South American harvest acting the way it is right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be moving beans until March. And that was some of the strength in yesterday's bean market, was the fact we heard rumors that the Chinese are canceling Brazilian contracts for February delivery, and we're taking them here from the U.S. So, you know, every week or every day that they're later getting those beans to port is another day that we can ship more beans out, which only tightens up the supply picture more. So, you know, going into that report, it's going to be interesting. Does that bean carryout come down, you know, 140, 120? It's kind of a shell game. They take away from some, they got to add to something else, and we stay about the same. So don't be shocked if we see that type of a movement, because realistically, 140 is kind of the baseline pipeline that we need to have just to have supplies. Anything under that basically means we're going to run out of beans.
Yeah, and I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens on Tuesday, and especially, you know, if we can get through Friday and get through Monday with, you know, a fairly decent market with no big moves to the downside, I think we could be in for a very interesting Tuesday ahead. I want to ask you, how's wheat playing into all of this? You know, we're hearing more about the Russian export taxes, a lot of farmers selling in Russia due to that, and it seems like there's a lot of wheat out on the market right now, and China's even dumped some from their reserves recently. How much is wheat playing into this overall commodity outlook as we move into reports next week?
Well, it was a bit of an anchor today. I'm not going to deny that in terms of on the corn market. And overall, we saw some selling pressure. We're watching those global wheat prices. They're coming down a little bit because of that Russian export tax coming in. You're seeing producers aggressively sell wheat over there, helping put pressure on price in general. You know, so it's going to take some time to kind of work through that situation. So, but the wheat market, again, still does look strong overall. We'll have to see how things kind of progress as we move into the spring, what happens with the acreage here in the United States, as well as, you know, obviously we're in wintertime across in the Black Sea region. You know, do we, you know, typically we try to kill a wheat crop three or four times during the winter. You know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking cold. Now it's getting warm. Things come out of dormancy, another cold shot. You know, that'll give some influence into the market overall. So, you know, wheat yesterday challenged a very difficult level of support. It held on to it, even though today we were softer. We still traded higher than yesterday's levels. So maybe we're building a little bit of a base here for an upside turn again. It's going to be probably led by the other grains, but you know, the wheat market is one of those markets that all of a sudden that money starts moving into, and there's room for that to happen. You know, we could see a pretty good bid. You know, obviously we got some competition in the feed side of it between wheat and corn. So, you know, right now we're starting to see a little bit of a divergence between the two, and realistically either corn's going to come down or wheat's going to come back up and fill that gap between those two species.
Well, and looking at everything as well with corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, sorghum, milo, all these crops and the acreage battle that's shaping up here in the U.S. as we move into the spring planting window. I think that's going to be something to watch as well. And, you know, beyond the USDA reports, we got that outlook forum coming up here later this month as well. And that's going to be another big milestone here as we start the new year.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, let's look at the calendar a little bit. That's some of the reason I got some caution in my tone here going into that report or after that report. I mean, obviously, we've got the Chinese Lunar holiday coming up, or their New Year holiday. They're out of the market for the entire following week. We also have options expiration for March options on the 19th. We saw how much fun that was here on the last week in January when we set those February options off and we went limit down on corn that day, 60 cents down on beans that day. And there are a lot of open strikes underneath the price levels we're at. Do we go challenge those levels again? So that's got me concerned. You mentioned the Outlook Forum. You know, that could be kind of a black swan event out there, the first time they're going to throw some acre numbers at us. That's typically been a little bit of a wet blanket on these markets overall. So that's got me going a little bit cautious that, you know, hey, we're in this window that prices could be at a spot where we just settle down for a while or start to grind sideways to lower. Then obviously you still got South American harvest. They're having weather issues, but the patterns look to be drying out. So we're going to see them start picking up. That'll probably be more of a story as we move into the end of February into March as those beans get to port and we start seeing those U.S. sales really dwindle as well as the shipment numbers dwindle. How's this market handle that? Now, the biggest thing, you know, I mentioned money positioning and the wheat side of the equation. On the bean side, they have taken a lot of length out of this market again. They're back down to where they were at the end of August, about 150,000 contracts of length is what we're estimating, about 100,000 contracts plus below where they were at the highs back in January. So if they got the right reason and they want to pour into this market, I don't think there's going to be any sellers to really fight them here. And we could see a pretty strong move pushing these prices higher. One little side note too, you mentioned the acre battle. Cotton jumped into the game full speed today. We had $3 gains across the board in the cotton market today. It was pushing limit higher or hit some of the stops, you know, that they run in terms of figuring limits. Now all of a sudden you got $80 cotton out to December. So how does that come into the game? And export sales for sorghum have been red hot. Sorghum prices on the cash level are high. Again, that's going to be a competing factor. So, you know, what I expect the USDA to do at the Outlook Forum, we're probably going to have record principal crop acreage out there. Now just how they're going to break it down is going to be the key and how the market reacts to that.
John, let's switch over to livestock. Let's talk cattle. Man, this cattle market looking strong here this week, and it's been looking strong. And really, feedlot country, you know, we're getting those asking prices. They're starting to tick higher, 115 in the south, 182 to 185 in the north. And we're coming in fairly close to that with some of our early selling activity here this week. Let's talk about this cattle market. I know you're a little excited about it. We were chatting before we jumped on the air.
I like this cattle market right now, and just some of the things that's starting to happen is, you know, we talk money flow, you're looking at the livestock sector, and where we were just a couple of weeks ago and how the money has moved in and started to push these prices higher. Now, we still got some cattle we got to work through, and maybe this February contract needs to kind of get out of the way here, and then we can see things maybe start to get a little bit more steam to it. But that was a very impressive day today. Really like what June did, taking out that reversal from last week on Friday, closing above the 120 level. You got April now within shooting distance of that same reversal action. You know, that could be a target tomorrow. We'll see if we can get through there. I think that breaks us out. Maybe we talk the 130 number on the April contract. Biggest thing that I'm seeing, and it's been most encouraging, you know, beyond that cash market, and that's still lagging, and that's probably because of the weights and the number of cattle we're still trying to work through, but at least it's trending higher. That's been the demand side of the equation. You know, we saw choice carcasses run up to 236 here at the start of the week. Demand slowed down a little bit. We dropped back a buck and a half or so down to the 235 window, and boom, we got our largest load count for the week going. So there were some people waiting for that price to break. Then you go through the export side, another nearly 30,000 metric tons of beef moving out again or get sold last week. Shipments still solid again this week. It's also just encouraging, the third leading buyer in this week's total, China, 7,000 metric tons. You know, considering they were, you know, basically absent from our market in history prior to this, you know, seeing that type of purchase movement from them is very encouraging. So you throw that, those types of things in there in terms of some of the optimism and the demand and that side of the equation, and then we've got that cattle inventory number that basically is telling us the cattle numbers are not going to be there. That just puts together a pretty good market for the longer term. And again, you look at those deferred contracts, that strength is out there well into 2022.
Yeah. And would you say that with that strength out there, maybe a good opportunity for some cattle producers to at least lock in a floor here with some of these prices right now?
You know, we're getting there. Obviously, the biggest thing that they're going to have to put together is the pencil with the feed costs. And, you know, so realistically, even though we're talking 23, 24, 25 out there in the third and fourth quarter, you know, make sure we know where our costs are going into that. But yeah, I agree. If we're in that window, you get a chance to start working on some profitability. Probably want to try to find a strategy that keeps your top side open. You know, we're looking at pushing through some barriers we haven't crossed in a handful of years. And if the technical side continues to kick in, the money flow kicks in, you know, we could see some prices that are pretty friendly. But with that, I don't want people being greedy saying, hey, let's wait for 130, let's wait for 140. You know, when you got some numbers that work on paper, lock them in, but somehow try to keep that upside open, whether it's owning some calls over trying to lock up some cattle with the packer or just keeping put strategies in and keeping the floor secure just in case we get a black swan event and things roll over again, but keep that upside open so you're making the money on the hoof.
Let's talk hogs here briefly. Strong export report again today. Cutout value is up aggressively. Cash prices were doing good. You know, that was net sales on pork. I mean, 46,000 metric tons with most of that to China, almost doubling Mexico, who came in second on that weekly report. But I noticed that February contract down today, down $1.35 at 71.02, which is still a good number, but it still finished lower today, which kind of was odd to me compared to the rest of the market. John, what are you seeing in hogs right now?
Yeah, it was a pretty ugly reversal on that February contract today, and that might open the market up for a little bit more technical selling tomorrow. You know, maybe February just got out over its skis a little bit there in terms of pushing to the $73 level today and on just some money flow. And when you start talking about where we are in the calendar, that contract expires on the 12th, so we're getting close to expiration. You know, we're getting pretty good premium over top the lean hog index or the cash index. So that's a limiting factor in terms of that February price. Maybe all those things just kind of came into a market that was starting to get a little overbought. So that obviously put pressure, but it was still encouraging to see those deferred contracts at least hold on to some gains today. But again, a little bit of caution. You know, I was even looking at those April hogs. They re-challenged that $80 barrier and failed there. You know, maybe that's going to be one of those lines we just can't get through here for a while. So we'll have to kind of watch that. I still like the hog market going forward. Again, some of the same things we just kind of talked about in the cattle side. The demand is good. You know, we've got some news reports out of China. They're dealing with some other diseases that are slowing their progress in terms of getting that herd put together beyond just African swine fever, a little bit of foot and mouth disease. We've got some PED over there. So that's bringing that demand into the market. You know, we saw retail carcasses jump $6 higher today with strong movement in the ham and the belly cut today. So again, that demand side of the equation is going to stay supportive. And then expectations now, we're hearing talk because the feed price is going higher. That's, you know, sow retention could be getting limited. We're seeing some more sows move out of operations, as well as keeping some gilts back for breeding. And again, tightening up that supply picture. So, you know, just like we've said in the other times we've talked here, when we get heavier prices in corn, you see those livestock markets usually have a good follow through with it, just because the supply side of the equation is cutting back and bringing, you know, just more money flow in support of those prices.
John, lot we've covered here today. Great insight, as always. Any final thoughts you have for our listeners here on this Thursday?
I did want to mention it in cattle. Tomorrow is February options expiration for live cattle. And then we got first notice day on Monday. So that could be bring some choppiness into the market. Don't be surprised. The market has a tendency, like we saw in the bean and corn markets here a few weeks back, it has a tendency to flow to where the most open options are. So that could be something that could come into play tomorrow. If we get some type of a sell-off, I wouldn't be surprised if we come snapping right back after, you know, we kind of get through those two event days and, on the February contract. You know, so watch that overall. The one big thing in terms of the macro side of the equation, the U.S. dollar index has been trending steadily higher since January 1st. It's not a surprise the bean market's kind of settled down in that same window. So we got to see what happens there. Again, talk of some stimulus possibly coming. Obviously, there's a lot of negotiations going on in Washington. What happens if that comes through? Does that get that dollar to break? Or if we are at a point where the dollar just stabilizes, that'll probably make it difficult for prices to really break out here if that U.S. dollar index continues to hold its gains.
We'll be watching a lot of those factors that you talked about there, John. And if producers want to get a hold of you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing for a little advice with their marketing, how can they do that?
Sure. I'd love to chat with them anytime. Feel free to give me a call, 800-334-9779, or shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com.
And you can find them as well, again, at totalfarmmarketing.com. John Heimberg, appreciate the time, as always, on this Thursday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jesse, and those of you out there in the snowstorm coming across the north and this cold temp, stay safe and, you know, be smart out there today.
Well, you do the same. I know that's working its way towards you there in Wisconsin, so you be safe with that snow, John.
Oh, it's always so much fun here, especially around the city folks when they start driving.
John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. And as John said, if you're seeing that winter weather, be safe here as you go through the day today. And this has been the Thursday, February 4th edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.